Okay, so Rabbi Shita, this is the Sigur Pasim of Ka'ara. Right, so we really have three elements of the Gemara. There's Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, right, who says Pasim of Ka'ara, that you you make a humble, see? Then the Gemara, right, this is incredible, the Gemara says that that's argues against Rabbi Chiya, who's father's name or surname, whatever, is not explicit. That's going to become relevant later. Whatever Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi just said, that argues on Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya holds who, and Rabbi, all that Rabbi Chiya says is Tzarech Shetichla Bracha Yimapas, that when you finish cutting the bracha, that's with the pas, whatever that means. And Rava then asks on Rabbi Chiya, what did you, you know, Maishan Snuma? What did you, who's arguing against Snuma, what did you gain? Because even according to Maishan Snuma, the low, the Kilya Bracha, Prusa Kakilya, Al Pas Namika Kagamra, Al Prusa Gamra, meaning you, Rabbi Chiya, whatever your criticism of Pas Numa Bakara was, which we'll have to get into, first of all, it depends what Pas Numa Bakara is. So whatever that criticism is, Rava is saying, your explanation of Sar Shekha Bracha and Pas, whatever that means, didn't actually gain anything. Rather, Ella Amarava Mvarcha Kahbutseya. Fine. Never get into Lacha, whatever. Fine. So all three steps of the Gemara are totally ambiguous and need explanation. So first of all, it's more to define what Pasnum Bakara is and to give Shu Pariser is credit where credit is due for making the digest. It's very impressive. That it could be Talion Machlokas. Rashi and Ramban how to read the understand the term tsnumos, which comes up in Sefer Bereishis describing the
dreams.
What? Right, yeah, in the dreams.
Yeah.
According to Rashi defines it as dried out, but the Ramban defines it as crushed up. So that really aligns with at least the way. Right, she does Rashi, learn Sigur. We don't necessarily have the Ramban, but the way that we can design the Ramban with other Rishonim, we learn differently than Rashi. But for Rashi, that it's Pasim Makara is dry bread, which is being soaked in some sort of like liquid, versus other Rishonim just like cut up, broken down pieces of bread. So that aligns, again, not directly for the Ramban, but just the Ramban is like the other Rishonim, and but Rashi here comes a very nice fact. So, right, it's a big question in the Sigur that all the Rishonim grapple with in different ways. Although Rashi is very awesome. But all the other Rishonim explicate is, right, what's the case here? Because if the Pas Snuma Bakara, we already know that you know, if you have, Brusos, if they're Kayamos, so then you do make a Hamotzi if they're by themselves. So why should Pas Snuma Bakara seemingly be any different once it is bread and it's Brus Kayamos, seemingly, or at least Torisa Nanama? So what's the chiddush behind that hamotzi? I mean, if you say that there's another bread involved, maybe let's say a shlema, or the Rosh adds a gadol, so seemingly we have the sigun amav beis, and we're going to get back to the relation between these two, but the sigun amav beis, which shows that these are milos. So if there's another bread involved that's either shalem or bigger, so then that should end the story. So what's the case here where... what's the case here where Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi has to say that you're making a hamotzi on a tsnuma? So the Rush and other Rishonim, we have different formulations, but we'll just call it she's the Rush, that the case is that there's no other bread involved. Rabbi Yono says it's slightly different, but it's in the same camp. But let's just go simple. There's no other bread here. It's just a pasnuma bakara. I see, Tom, you already know from Teresa Nama that you make a hamotzi. So you say from Pasim Makara, you already know to make Hamotzi, so that's true. But what the Rush is saying is that if you initially break up, crumble up the bread, cut it down into different pieces, now there's different formulations here. L'shem b'tzorach b'tzia, the Rush says. L'shem bracha tosos, Rush says. Okay, l'varcha l'hamotzi, the Rabbeinu Yonah says. They're all getting at the same idea that the... Inasmuch as the initial crumbling is done as part of the ultimate betzia process, so therefore, that act of, again, this is only Rav Chaya bar Ashi, Rav Chaya is going to disagree with this, but according to Rav Chaya bar Ashi, that act of breaking down, that act of crumbling, is consistent with the, you know, the need to accomplish a betziah. Therefore, you're even let, the chiddush is, there's no other bread here, but the chiddush is, even let tchila, you're allowed to do that initial crumbling. Rabbi Yonah is slightly different, that he does have another bread involved, in that he says that, but since the, when you know, at one point, your pasim b'kar was a shalim, so since the crumbling was all a shame, k'dei levarach al hamotzi, his formulation is, that mila of shalim, that mila of etzion shalim is maintained. And therefore, even if there's another shalim there, you can make the bracha whichever one you want, because you also have the mila of shalim from the pasim b'kar, as much as the original crumbling, when it was in a shalim form, is tzorech b'tziyah.
According to the Talmid of Rabbi Yonah, is Rav Chaya actually giving you the choice of making the bracha mitzvah, or is he saying that you have to make the bracha mitzvah?
I think it would be a choice, because what would be? I don't know if there's a mila davka.
No, I'm taking the mila shalom, and then you are also the mila chavod.
Right, but is the pasim b'kar like fundamental, like inherently more chaviv? Maybe if it was more chaviv, then in Echanami you'd have to make the bracha. Meaning, it's a choice in as much as shalim goes. In Echanami, like if there are other factors, there are other factors. If it's gadol, if there's chaviv, I think it's true. But I don't know if that's what he's talking about. He's just saying that even though pas B is shalim right in front of you, and pas A, the tzimah ka'ara, was only, you know, shalim before you crumbled up with tzarech bracha, so that's also consistent with accomplishing the mile of shalim. So either way, you see from this that and then what's Rabbi Chiya's, you know, what's his argument back? So I think it's simply just that that's not true. He rejects this idea that you can have this initial crumbling, you know, accomplish the mila of a betziah, either in the Rashi's camp that would not be a letzchila mode of operation, in as much as now you're losing the betziah. Or for the Rabbeinu Yonah camp, that no, you'd have to bless the shalom because you've lost the mile of shalom, a betzia on the shalom, in as much as you crumbled up initially. But either way, you see that, and this is speaking out with a few people, that we have this whole discussion whether the mile of betzia is a mile in the bracha or mile. Sorry, if shalom is part of the bracha or the betzia, and it's just very, even though they use formulations of l'shem bracha, l'tzorech bracha, it doesn't make any sense to say that, like, a preparatory process, namely one which is of the breaking down variety, of cutting something up, of doing some sort of, you know, cooking preparation, that goes into the bracha. That much more sounds like a din mesuyam of betzias apas, and to that there's an inherent value to, whether that means because it's starting the meal, there's some inherent value to this breaking of the bread. And a preparatory process of such breaking only aligns with such a din mesuyam, and not a mila in the bracha. And then there's just, you know, the machlokasim, and that's really basically the shizah of the Rosh in this camp. That, so then the machlokasim are minor, meaning Rav Chaya bar Ashi goes out on a limb and says you can even accomplish that betzia, that din mesuyam of betzia, with a preparatory action, which is, you know, the tzorach the bracha, which is moving in the direction of the betziah that you're ultimately going to make. Rabbi Chiya comes in and rejects that. He says that's definitely not true. Rather, you still have to do a betziah, and you have to do a betziah on as shalim as possible. And therefore, he says you should do it right as you're making the bracha. And Rabba comes even further and says you didn't accomplish anything, Rabbi Chiya, because according to you, that when you finish the bracha, it's already cut. So Rava considers that, you know, being chal, that it sounds like Rava thinks that a bracha is chal at the end, and therefore when the bracha is actually chal, it's a brusa at that point. Therefore, Rava says, do it at the beginning. And Rabbi Chiya, seemingly, I mean, he has to hold that the bracha is chal at the beginning, otherwise Rava's criticism is accurate, that by the time the bracha is chal, it's a brusa. And once he thinks it's chal at the beginning, then you might as well, you know, at the beginning of the bracha, start your cut, so by the end of the bracha, there's a limited amount of hefsek before you actually eat. But that's a very minor machlokas between Rava and Rabbi Chiya, when the bracha is actually kal, and then the avenue for Rabbi Chiya is available, since he thinks the bracha is called at the beginning, to avoid hafsik. And the other Rishonim done out that even for Rava, maybe should make a little incision to avoid hafsik. So really, they both agree to the concepts of Betziah during the bracha and hafsik. The question is just a little bit how to manipulate them based on when the bracha is actually chal. Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi is the one who's out on the limb saying that, no, there's this concept called Tzarech Bracha, Tzarech Betziah, that you can do it all the way before. But either way, the whole thing is a din in the Betziah. Fine. So that was the camp of the Rush and Co. So I have to go to the Ritza. The Ritza or the Ra'a. I'm really focusing more on the Ritza. So the Ritza and the Ra'a, they have, they also start out with the question, right? What's the case here? What's the case of Plastim Makara? What's the Chiddush? Obviously, if it's a loan, obviously you make a motzi. If it's against the Shema, then you should obviously press the Shema. So to which they respond, so no, there's really no Shema here, because then for sure Shema would win. But nevertheless, there still is another bread in the picture. And that bread is a bigger, is gedolim, right? Or paskalim, meaning a bigger, it's a prusa, it's not a full, it's not a shalim loaf, but it's bigger than it's bigger than pasnum vikara, which they define as psisim katanim. So then the machlokas come out. Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi. Well, first let's just start with Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, because we'll get to Rabbi Chiya's saying. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi then is saying that once there's no shalim, it's anybody's game, and you can bless whatever you want. Again, I think what an Alan Ta'ara is a good one, that doesn't mean that, you know, all the other milos are out the window. Maybe if it was gadol, in this case, not gadol. That we do know. But if it was chaviv, maybe you'd have to do that one. He doesn't say. But in regards at least to the, right, to the mila of shalim, so once there's no shalim, there's no difference in season gadol and season kanan. We'll have to understand why the size does not factor in. And I mean, it seems pretty clear that, but whatever the reason is, we'll talk about that. The Ritzel and the Ra'a seem to not have a mila of gadol. Even just to get it off the table right now, you could just say that, you know, the chatzi batz of gadol that comes up on the base, which seems to give a mila of gadol, could really be a din in sweetness, as Tosos says. And that really, you know, we've kind of taken it for granted that there's a mila of gadol, but really that it all comes from that. The chatzi batz of gadol element, and if you learn that differently, so then you really don't have a mila of gadol, and that kind of takes care of that. But then what's the interplay between, right? So now we have Rav Chiya Bar Ashi here. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Shita. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi sounds like he's saying that, right, you don't need to, once there's no shalim, then it doesn't matter, fine. So then Rabbi Chiya claps back, according to the Ritzel, and he says, no, that doesn't make any sense, because there's still a value in doing a Betziah on the Pesizim Gedolim, which you cannot accomplish with the Pasim Makara. You still have to do a Betziah. So that sounds very nice, you know, that conceptually we can understand what that means, and we'll even, you know, we can even say that the value in a Betziah is not, it's not really linked to Shlema per se, it's just linked to the doing the Be'etzem, there's a value in doing the action of a Betziah. That's part of the Takana of the Bracha of Hamotzi, and therefore there's a value of doing a blessing of Betziah, a bowl of bread. So conceptually that's very nice, and it makes a lot of sense in response to Rav Chiya, the problem is Rav Chiya doesn't sound anything like that. He says, he just says, you need to finish, when you finish the Bracha, you cut the bread. So how do you know that he's talking about a case of, like, that's talking about a case of Pasnu Vikara versus Pesizim Gedolim, and he's saying to do the Pesizim Gedolim. He's just telling you to do a Betziah. Maybe Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi would also agree that there's a value in doing the Betziah. He just thinks that once you lose Shalom, then there's no Baitza at all. How do we know that Rabbi Chiya is Davka talking about a case where there's no Shalom, and nevertheless there's still a value of Betziah? So this is where we had to come on to the Noach Kadamish, to say that according to them, if you look carefully, the Gir says Rav Chiya Bar Ava, who was a colleague of Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Again, there's obviously a stretch because the fact that two people were contemporaries doesn't mean that they were having a conversation with one another. But otherwise, it's very hard to understand how the Ritzah gets this jump to viewing the Ruchia Bar Ashi's, or Ruchia Bar Abba's criticism of Ruchia Bar Ashi, like in the very specific case which he paints then for Ruchia Bar Ashi to create a Chiddush. So that seems to be the only way to really put them in conversation. And again, like the Gemara clearly is not speaking out, but there's obviously, meaning, there's obviously assumptions that are going on when the Gemara just takes these two statements that are very disparate and don't necessarily seem to have anything to do with each other and links them together. So, you know, it is possible that there's more being assumed than it's not being said that the Ritzah can play off of. But it's still, that still is not the easiest point to make, but that's the jump that has to be done. And so fine, so that accounts for Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So what's Rava's claim? Rava says, "Maishan Tsnuma, that you're, you know, making the that Maishan Tsnuma. What did you, what, you know, what was the Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi? What was your Rava? We know it's talking Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi. I mean, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, what was your problem with the Tsnuma that you're being varach on a prusa that even according to your shita that you cut the that you're both say at the same time the yom varach. So then you also are you know, cutting the prusa. So, like, what does that to do with? So, seemingly, what he's saying is, right now, the Rechiv Ashi. Now, you understand the Rechiv Ava's claim as Rechiv Ashi. There's a value to cutting a betzia of old bread. So that makes a lot of sense. So, what's Rava's criticism? Rava's criticism is, but according to you, you're not actually accomplishing anything because when you cut it, it's chal on a prusa. So okay, but yeah, but that's better than doing nothing. Like what's Rava bothered by? So so seemingly, what you have to say is that what Rava is bothered by is that at the end of the day, when you cut the bread, right? I mean, when you cut the bread during the bracha, again, coming back to the shita, that the bracha is chal at the end. So when the bracha is actually chal, then this is it's only a piece. It's not a full loaf. And this piece, we're going to have to say, now this I actually don't have clarity on. I don't know if now we're saying that the piece is like just mitzias-wise, not mitziable, or that there's like, no, it's like a fundamental point that when you cut off a slice, like a slice is not called a bar mitziah, in an inherent fundamental sense. Because, like, in theory, I don't know, like, why can't you cut a slice that's like a bar mitziah? Is that, like, impossible to cut a slice of a bar mitziah? So I'm more, I looked back at my notes from Shir, it wasn't exactly clear. If you guys have any thoughts, I'm happy to hear. I don't know exactly, I'm not sure if it's just a technical, like, that's always going to be the case, or no, it's like a fundamental point that a slice is not a bar mitziah. But either way, the idea is that since the bracha is called the end, and you're cutting a slice, then the bracha is only chal on a slice. So that slice is not a bar mitziah. So you lost the maila of doing a mitziah on. Now get into what exactly is the maila then. So.
Wait, are you able to repeat the what's called chal in Rava?
Yeah. So, right, so now we're understanding Rechiya Bar Abba's claim is that. Rechiv Bar Ashi, you're telling me to make a pasnuma over a pesusim gedolim. That's not. You've lost all betziah, right? And why, there's still a mila to using a bar betziah. Again, we're going to get into exactly if it's bracha or betziah. But you've lost the whole mila of a bar betziah, which pesusim means you've lost the mila of a betziah itself. So that's why you should be mevarach on the pesusim gedolim. To which Rava says, hey, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, you didn't gain anything because you, when you cut the bread, so you're also being mevarach on a prusa. So if Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was a did in the betziah and saying there's a mila just in doing a betziah versus not doing a betziah, so the Rav's criticism doesn't make any sense. At the end of the day, you did a betziah on the prusim gedolim as opposed to pasnim bara. But if Rava is saying no, there's a mila in making a bracha on a bar betziah. The reason why betziah is mentioned is because that's the betziah is not the mila itself. Bracha is the mila. or a bracha on something chashav is what we're trying to accomplish. But betzia, as mentioned, as much as betzia is the geder, is the guideline, is the fault line between the what's considered chashav and not chashav, hainu abar betzia, or lack thereof. So, therefore, the sugya is about betzia, but Rava's criticism only, you know, afarach makes sense if the maila, unlike we were saying before in the rush, is that it's a, you know, it's a maila in the betzia itself. But now we're going to say no, it's really a maila in the bracha, that the bracha has to be in a bar betzia. And Rava's, and then again, you have the same focus between Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rava. When is the bracha chal? Because according to Rav Chiya bar Abba, the bracha is chal at the beginning, seemingly. So then. What?
No, sorry, never mind.
Okay, so the bracha is chal at the beginning. So once the bracha is chal at the beginning, so then even when you slice during the bracha, so the bracha was chal on the whole loaf, on the bar betzia. And okay, in theory, could he have waited? Yes, but then that's more of a hesek, so we'd rather minimize the hesek. Okay, for Rava, who thinks the bracha is chal at the end, the only thing you can do is mivarach achach betzia, in order to have the bracha be in a bar mitzvah, because the end of the bracha is the chalos, and so therefore the end of the bracha, by the time the end of the bracha, the bar mitzvah has to be extant. Good. Okay, so I think that's basically the position of the ritva. Then we came a little bit into the shitas of Rambam. But it's interesting, we kind of got back to this after we, when we came back to the if Shalem is a Shalem Chashav or Milas in the Bracha of Betzia, but not everybody's there, so we're just not going to get that far. So the Rambam, right, he is, right, obviously the placement of the Rambam is always critical. And the placement of the Rambam is always critical. And the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Chokhmas Brachos is really good, articulating all the Dinei Derech Eretz, the Dinei Suda, where he mentioned Betzias Apas. And in Perakhas, that's where he talks about Kadima Brachos and different factors that determine which food to be blessed in, or which between different foods, fine. So the Rambam only mentions Shlema in Perak Zayin when he's talking about Dinei Betzia. So it seems clear cut, end of the line, that for him, Shlema is a Mila in the Betzia, not a Mila in the Brach. And again, maybe I don't know why he kind of divided up. This way he ends up talking about this more in a later piece in the Sugi of Pesis and Shleiman. But at least in just right here, so it sounds like from the Rambam that it would be a din in the Shleima would be a Mila in the Betzia. Coming back to basically what we were saying in Rava, it is interesting, then, that a Rava says, you need to be mevarech v'achar kach botzea. That if really the whole point was that you just need to do a betzia on a shalem, so why does it really matter when the bracha is? It doesn't matter when the bracha is. The bracha is seemingly independent, and the betzia is what has to be on a shalem. So even if you make the bracha while you do, even in theory, if the bracha is called at the end, according to Rava, if it was really only a mile in the betzia and nothing to do with the bracha, so just make the cut a shlema. We'll tell you, don't do pasim mikara. Instead, cut a shlema, given the choice. Or we'll tell you that, and if you are planning to do pasim mikara, we'll tell you no, that's b'diavad, don't do it. We'd rather you maintain it as a shlema. So what is the meaning of bracha here? So even for the Rambam, then, you're probably going to have to say some sort of nusach, and I think there's different ways to say this. I don't have like the perfect formulation necessarily, but it's not just about the betzia. There is a bracha. The bracha still is, at least in the world of Rava, but that's what Pasim likes. So that's how I was going to find out in the Rambam that there has to be an involvement of the bracha. That the bracha has to be on. The bracha is chal on a betzia. But what I think is different here is that, like we're saying, for the ritza that you want that really it's all a mila and bracha, and you want the bracha to be chal on a bar mitzia. Here, the way I thought about it is that you want the bracha to be chal on a betzia, and then a betzia like independently is a better betzia if it's on a shlema. So the Rambam can put it in Perek Zayin, Because really what Shlema is a mila and is a category of Betziah. But since the bracha of Halmoti is chal on a Betziah, and you want to do the ideal Betziah, so therefore, it's like they're connected, but in a certain sense isolated. This is at least I thought about it, but I'm open to like different formulations here. That there's the bracha is chal on the Betziah. That's like, that's just cut and dry. And what?
Since chal on the Betziah is cut and dry.
Ah.
Very good
ball. So the bracha is chal on the Betziah. That's cut and dry. But what the Betziah is, that's like its own separate category. And what you kind of do is the input is what's the best Betziah? Or the input are like the various factors, so like Shalim being one of them. The output is like what's the best Betziah? And then like Minat Sad, we say, okay, and then the bracha goes on that Betziah. So the ideal is to make a bracha on the best Betziah. So that's why Rava says, since the best Betziah is on a Shalim, so make the bracha on, the bracha should be chal on a Betziah, that's the most ideal. But how we determine that ideal Betziah is kind of a nidon mifnei atzmo. And still, this only is applicable for Rava, who thinks that the bracha is chal at the end, right? Because if you thought the bracha was chal at the beginning, so then even being mevarech while you're botzeah is still accomplishing the ideal Betziah on a Shlema when the bracha is chal. But in as much as Rava thinks that bracha is chal at the end, and you want to be the bracha to be chal on the best Betziah, so you have to wait. So it's true. When you make the bracha, it doesn't actually affect the quality of the Betziah. The Betziah, the fact you cut it, you're Botzeah Shalim, that's the end of the day, that's always going to be the best Betziah. But since independently you want the bracha to be chal on the best Betziah, so you wait to do the Betziah until after you make the bracha, so that at the time you're making the bracha, at the time the bracha is chal, the Betziah that you're about to do is still the most ideal Betziah, as opposed to the bracha being chal on a Betziah which you've already done, and now at the time that bracha is chal, that's not the ideal Betziah. So I think that's how I understood it. It was very concise, this piece of the Rambam. I tried to speak about it more because I think it was confusing, and that's how I understood it, but I'm open to different formulations there. And then right, we came to the end of the sugya, the Gemara is explicit, the Pasuk like Rava. So Tosfos there, right, mentions, has a Yishma Farshan, meaning has a Yishma being Raya. There's different issues in Tosfos, right, whether or not you should make a little incision before in Rava, even to avoid Hefsek or not. And then there's a Yishma Vien Raya that you need to finish the bracha before you do Botzeah, right? And it cites Rabbi Chiya in the Yerushalmi, right? The Yerushalmi brings up a whole different idea of you're going to be cutting the bread and then it's going to fall and the bracha is only going to be chal on that prusa and then it's going to be shmeisted by the mud and you don't want to eat it and you're not going to be like Rav Shechter and like pick up the grasshopper. So then you're going to have to make a new bracha, it's going to be bracha hisricha, no fun. So the problem, right, the problem is twofold. A, this reason is like totally different from anything that we've been mentioning in our sugya, seemingly, or at least explicitly. And secondly, right, the opinion that we're citing here in the Yerushalmi is Rabbi Chiya. So what's Tosfos trying to accomplish? If he's trying to bring a proof to Shitas Rava that you should be Mevarech Achach Lotseya, so Rabbi Chiya, not just in our Gemara, even in Yerushalmi, he says Mevarech Vashashu Poris. Rabbi Chiya doesn't even hold that. So how does his reasoning, which affects a different Shita in the Yerushalmi and consistently with the Bavli, end up proving Rava's position in the Bavli? And not even mentioning the fact that they're just, the reasonings sound totally different from one another. So, so the Rosh Hashanah kind of is dochik that what he's really trying to do is support, that Tosfos is trying to support the idea that you should not make any incision beforehand, that Yesh Mefarshim. But how does that work with the Lashon Rechiah, the Shita Rechiah? So what Rabbi wants to say is that Tosfos is using Rabbi Chiya not for his position, but davka for the reasoning. Right? And to bring a whole new understanding of our sugya. That what's really going on in our sugya is that is chashash nefila, that we're choshish that the thing's going to fall. That's why that's what affects the betziah. And we'll work all the way back to Rabbi Chiya Rashi and understand where he's coming from. But for Rava, so so Rava, what Rava's saying is that the first, let's start. What's Rabbi Chiya saying to Yerushalmi? Rabbi Chiya is saying to Yerushalmi that if you cut the loaf before if you don't make the bracha and betziah simultaneously, so then the bracha is going to be, if you cut the loaf, let's say, and then made the brachas, and the brachas only on the loaf, and then you could drop it. So what does he recommend? Make the bracha during the betziah, so the brachas chal on everything. Now, obviously, that only makes sense if you hold the brachas chal at the beginning, because then if you held the brachas chal at the end and you're telling me to cut during the bracha, so then you end up having the bracha only apply to the sprusa. So clearly, Rabbi Chiya holds the brachas chal at the beginning, and therefore you might as well, to avoid hafsek, make them simultaneously, and then the brachas chal the whole loaf, because when you start the bracha, it's the loaf is still extant, and that's what you make the bracha on. But Rava, we see clearly, holds the brachas only chal at the end of the recitation of the sentence. So, inasmuch as that's true, so Rabbi Chiya's reasoning applied to him would definitively emerge that you have to make the bracha before the entire betziah, because according to him, if you cut during the bracha, so then it's only chal on the prusa, you didn't gain anything. Therefore, you have to be mavarech before doing any betziah, so the bracha goes on anything. But the reasoning is like Rabbi Chiya, that it's to combat a chashash tefila, just it goes further based on when the bracha is chal. So, fine. So even if this is true, right, it still comes down.
Are we saying that Rava agrees to this chiddush of Rabbi Chiya in the Yerushalmi of Shem Tibbol, that you can't do a betziah at all before?
Yeah, precisely. But that's not agreeing to Rabbi. That's not. It's agreeing to his reasoning, but not application. Because Rabbi Chiya's application is therefore wait at least until you start the bracha to cut. Right. Because he thinks the bracha is chal at the beginning, so once the bracha, so then the bracha will be chal on everything. Rava's application is, in as much as I think the bracha is only chal at the end, therefore you have to do the whole bracha before the betziah. But that's how Tosfos can use Rabbi Chiya's reasoning.
But now Rava says you can't do any bracha b'chalal.
Any betziah.
Yeah, any betziah b'chalal before the bracha.
Yeah, correct. I mean, it's not, again, that's kind of what we're handling. Is he supporting, is Tosfos doing this just to support Rava, to give a new reasoning for Rava, or like Davka to support the minute, like, nuance that he brought earlier that you can't even make, that you shouldn't even make an incision whatsoever? That latter is a possibility. Now, we don't necessarily have to come on to that like the Rishash did. We don't have to say that he was supporting that particular day. He might just be coming to explain like a new reasoning behind the whole sugya. Although the formulation of Yeshua V'in Raya does sound like he's coming to buttress a position that he originally mentioned, which would be more in line with the Rishash. Now, at the end of the day, Tosfos is still incorporating Yerushalmi into a Bavli, and the Bavli has no mention of these factors. So, right, it would seem that Tosfos, at least this Deya and Tosfos, would have to hold that, you know, given the preeminence of the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, especially in the world of the Bavli at Tosfos, it would seem to emerge that Tosfos thinks that the Yerushalmi is learning, that the reasoning that's going on in the Yerushalmi is what's really going on in the Bavli. What's interesting is that the Rush and Ritzva are explicit that the interpretation of the Yerushalmi is in direct contradistinction to the interpretation of the Bavli of these various positions. What do you mean by... they say explicitly, they quote Yerushalmi as like a different shot. It's like, yeah. So, yeah, also, I just, so now I just have to, yeah, so now to figure out, so what's going on here? Why does Tosfos assume a consistency between the Baal Yerushalmi and the Ritz and the Rush are assuming an inconsistency? One point I just noted, I just had this one from before, it's interesting, is that it's explicit in the Yerushalmi that we're dealing with a Tana Rabbi Chiya. So, it just comes out, it is interesting and kind of affects like what the Shabbos and the Ritzvah, that this is like Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. It does seem unlikely that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba in the Bavli like just happens to hold the same exact shita as the Tana Rabbi Chiya in the Yerushalmi, especially considering that like the Stam Girsa in the Bavli is just Rabbi Chiya. Like you would really think they're the same person, and that makes the contemporaneous generational explanation that Rebbe gave in the Ritza a little bit more tenuous. That's just my side point. Well, I mentioned the Yerushalmi. That's why it's in a bracket. Yes. But getting back to the whole thing, what's the machlokas? Why did the Rush and the Ritza see the Yerushalmi contradistinction to the Bavli, whereas, I mean, you could just say based on omission, but the Yerushalmi is a little bit, but really the Bavli is, you know, stupendously ambiguous, and therefore if you have a Yerushalmi that seems to be articulating the exact same positions, why not incorporate that reasoning? And for Tosfos, how does he really learn to Sugya? I mean, that we already discussed, but you know, why does he learn that way, as opposed to the Rush? So, seems like we're going to say that it really boils down to different conceptions, potentially, of a Sam Das on when one is making a bracha. So, if right, when you have Pasnumakara, you have this like whole plate of Pasnumakara, and so, and meaning if you have a slice of a loaf, so fine, I understand that the bracha is only going on that slice, if you cut it and you make a bracha on that. But what about a fork, a spoon of a bowl? So is a bracha going on only that? Because that's not like an individual entity. A slice is like an entity. But like a spoonful is not necessarily an individual entity. Maybe it is, but it's not necessarily. Or at least you can understand how you can make a chaluk. So if that's true, so maybe the Rush thought, and the Ritza and other Rishonim thought, it was apparently obvious that that when you make a bracha on a pasnim kara, there's no entity called a spoonful. That's going on the whole pasnim kara. And therefore, what Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi is saying cannot be, his chiddush can't be that you're allowed to be mavarach on the pasnim kara because I don't have any like conception of chashash nefila. But meaning, it's a little bit. This point is a little bit complicated, and it's taking time
they're
to get up.
Totally fine throwing away the Yerushalmi.
I mean, not throwing it away. Again, it's just a different pshat in the sugya, and there's different pshats in between the Baal and the Yerushalmi all the time. But like, it wouldn't. Rabbi Chiya's chiddush can't be that. Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, sorry, his chiddush can't be for the Russian co that you're allowed to make pasim ka'ara because that's not chashash afila. And then Rabbi Chiya's response, if you want to incorporate the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Chiya's response is, no, you have to be, you can't be mivarach on the pasnuma, you have to be mivarach on one where you can do betziah, because that, because by doing betziah, that allows you to have the bracha on the whole loaf, by doing the betziah at the same time as the bracha, as opposed to before. So if that's Rabbi Chiya, and the Gemara, even if they're not talking directly to each other, like, what's the Gemara compares it to? If Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi's statement, according to the Rush, there's no logic to say that it's involved or invested in the world of Chashash and Afila whatsoever, then it doesn't make sense for the Gemara to line these two positions up against each other when they're really, like, are not talking about the same thing at all. And, again, they don't have to be talking about the same case necessarily, but now they're not even talking about the same conception. They're talking about two different ideas, two different reasonings. So why are they really pligia on Dadi? And you could even say, to be sharper, that maybe Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi would agree on a loaf that you shouldn't do the betziah before you do a bracha, so that you, because he's chodesh for nefila, and he just thinks stam das on a one of Pasnim Vakara, is that you are, you know, you have Das to everything, so the Chashash is irrelevant. So how would the Gemara even know that they're Pligi? Like, how would the Gemara know to say, U Pligi to Rabbi Chia? Maybe Rabbi Chia Rashi agrees with Rabbi Chia. He just thinks it's Dam Das. Elamai, you have to say that that's not what's going on in the Sugya. Because that would be, that can't be, once, if Rabbi Chia was in the world of Chashash Nefila, then so would Rabbi Chia Rashi. And the Rush thing with things, that's too obvious. That wouldn't be his Chiddush. And therefore, once that's what Rabbi Rashi is talking about, so then you can't say, then the Gemara couldn't say Upliga on Rabbi Chia Rashi, who's saying something completely different, I and what we said before in the Rush and the Ritza, and then contrast that with Rabbi Chia. Whereas for Tosfos might think, no, it's not so obvious. It's not so obvious that you have Stam Das, and that itself could be Rebbe, and maybe even he would think you don't have Stam Das on everything, you have Das only on the spoon. And the Chiddush of Rebbe Chia Rashi is that he's just not choshish for things falling out of your hand and having to do this whole thing. He thinks you can, whatever, relax. But then Pasim Makar is a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush that not only is the Stam Das not on the whole bowl but only on the spoon, but Rebbe Chia Rashi is saying, and I'm not so crazy or concerned that you're going to go ahead and drop that spoonful. And once that's true, so then it could really come out that, right, and whatever, there's a Machlokas Shulchan Aruch Rama regarding the parameters of the Yerushalmi, whether or not the Yerushalmi applies only when you specifically have Das for the, you know, the Prusa or the spoonful, or rather when you, no, just that Stam, that's always true, it's not that you explicitly don't have Das or everything else. And the Russian and Tosus can line up, like, yeah, Tosus would say that Stam, you really only have Das with the thing in front of you. And therefore, it is relevant to talk about Chashash Nefila. Even for Apostle Mekara, it's relevant to talk about Chashash Nefila. Now, again, Rabbi Chia Rashi is saying, I don't hold my Chashash Nefila. But in a certain ironic way, the only way for him to be making a Chiddush about not being Chashash for Nefila is if there was an import to being Chashash for Nefila. So only because Tosus would hold that even by Pasnim Bekara, had the thing fallen, you'd be shmeisid, you'd have to make a new bracha, can Rabbi Chia Rashi be saying a chiddush that, yes, in a chanami that's true, and I'm not concerned for that. And then Rabbi Chia can respond, no, that's wrong, you should be concerned for that. But if, like, the Rush, who could line up with the Ramah, that it's davka in a case where you whether your shami only applies in a case where you really have explicit lack of das or everything else, but stam, you would have das for everything in front of you, so then there's no room to talk about chashash nefila, because even if you were chosher for nefila, it wouldn't matter. And once Rabbi Chia Rashi is not talking about that, so then Rabbi Chia is not talking about that as much as the Gemara compares it to.